Okay, we are in The Great Controversy, page 555. And second paragraph, well, actually the first solid paragraph, it says, oh, amen. Amen and amen. Oh, yeah, let me give you the link. It's, well, the link's actually in the room. If you just, right above the chat room, it says Sabbath Eve. You click that link, it'll bring you there. Or click what Brother Eli just put in the room there. And so, all right, so it says, it is a law both of the intellectual and the spiritual nature that by beholding we become changed. And this is one of the reasons I did that sermon years ago that my son Luke actually turned into a video. It's the one that I think Elvis Presley's on the cover of it. Like when you see the video and all the stacks of videos, there's a, you'll see Elvis Presley. Well, that's, there's a reason he's in the video. It's just a picture of him. It has to do with how rock music was introduced into the nation. They didn't use AC/DC or what was that? Marilyn Manson, really ugly guys. You know, they used some good looking mama's boy to get the people to fall in love with sin. So she goes on to say that the mind gradually adapts itself to the subjects upon which it is allowed to dwell. It becomes assimilated to that which it is accustomed to love and reverence. Man will never rise higher than his standard of purity or goodness of truth. And this is one of the reasons we took the TVs out of the house. I remember when I was a kid, and you could see how easily this really does manipulate the minds of people, especially kids. Because I remember when I was a kid, I could not understand for the life of me why my mom wouldn't let us watch The Three Stooges until I was a teenager. And I asked her again. And then I realized it because later on in life I started having kids and stuff like that, and I saw the same thing. She says every time that we watched The Three Stooges, after it was over, you know, we go around poking each other in the eyes or smacking each other in the back of the head, you know, starting fights, you know, me and my brothers, you know, we're just rolling around, beating each other up, goofing around, of course. And that had a tendency to get loud and boisterous, and we'd break things, you know. So she didn't like that. And we had to promise her left and right not to do the same thing when Batman came out. And my point is, I know how it manipulated my mind. I know when I was a young man and I used to watch the shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movies, I always wanted to play the hero. You know, it's not so much I wanted to play the hero, it's I like the hero, and I liked that mindset. And there was a lot of times that I could see myself emulating in that direction sometimes, and I would always have to shake it off because I said, no, I'm all about just being myself and being real. And so I didn't want to fake it when I was out there in the world, but I could feel it coming on me. I thought, that is eerie how that happens. Like if you watch a movie and you like the way that this one actor acts, and you start acting like that actor. And I got to tell you this, for those of you that are in your, you know, well, I don't care what age you are. How many of you remember when you were growing up and you were defining yourself and you had a best friend who did things that you wanted to do just like your best friend? Or have you ever noticed that your best friend wanted to do things just like you did? They didn't want to be themselves. They wanted to emulate you, or you wanted to emulate them. But here's the clincher. Put a little kid in front of a television set and that kid will be transfixed. It's the ultimate babysitter. It works. It's mind-manipulating technology. And so man can never rise higher than the standard of purity or goodness of truth that God puts forth, because he himself puts a standard before him that entices him, that pleases the flesh, that makes it fun. And with today's world, I mean, it was bad enough when I was growing up where you had the television set in a house. I mean, But there you would have to literally get in the house. On rainy days, it was bad. You'd be sitting in front of the, you'd vegetate in front of the TV all day because it's raining. Or if it's cold in the winter, you'd just sit there and vegetate watching TV all day. But at least back then, you had to get on your bike once in a while and go for rides. And like, because I used to love to go for a ride on my bike, and I would ditch my bike behind this thing that was called Guidish Trailer Park, and I would go way in the back and ditch my bike, and I'd go for walks in the prairies and talk to God. I had to get away from my siblings. I mean, it was a constant war. I wasn't kidding when I said I was one of 11 kids. And so I needed time alone. Always been a loner. And so I just went out there and I would do that. But with today's world, you know, like I said, back then you had the TV and that was it, and the radio, and which kind of irked me, because the minute you got up in the morning to the minute you went to bed at night, my mom had that radio blasting all day long. It was a small radio in the kitchen, but it was enough to get through the whole house. And it was rock and roll. We heard the Beatles the first time singing "I Want to Hold Your Hand." I mean, and I'm not going to mention the songs, but there's two songs burned into my brain that every time I hear them, if I'm in the store or, you know, or like if you're listening to a talk radio and they use this song as the startup for the radio, it reminds me of the 1967 tornado that ripped through Illinois, that F5, because I was in it. And while we were in the crawl space underneath the house, that radio, those two songs are playing it while we're down in the crawl space singing or praying the rosary. My mom was praying the rosary, and we were echoing her because we were so scared. It sounded like a train was coming through the neighborhood. And for some reason, the electricity didn't go out. But we didn't have telephone poles. This was one of the first neighborhoods where all electricity was underground. And but today, forget about it. You can't get away from it. You like when I was a kid, like I said, it's like, get out of the house. I had no TV on my bike. I ain't got no TV in my pocket. But today you do. Smartphones right there. You got your television right there on your, especially if you live in a big city, you got internet, LTE, GTE, kind of, you know, the high, like, for example, there's a couple of small towns out here where you can actually get 26 meg download speed, crazy fast internet on your cell phone. You can watch any TV, any movies, anything you want on your cell phone. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this could literally be, and a lot of kids, and I just read an article about this the other day, they actually got a new disease, what they're calling it. They're calling it text neck. And it's not just because of texting, but a lot of the teenagers are getting this vertebrae issue in their brain, or not the brain, but it is causing problems with the brain because they're pinching off the oxygen supply, but they're putting their head down for hours on end texting their friends or watching videos on their cell phone. How can they ever get to the standard of purity or goodness and truth that God wants them to get to if they're putting forth the standard, or they're bowing to the standard that Hollywood puts forth? These guys knew what they were doing when they set up this Hollywood falderall. The elite wanted to destroy the people because Satan wanted to destroy the people. She goes on to say that it is self. If self is the loftiest ideal, he will never attain to anything more exalted. Rather, he will constantly sink lower and lower. Because I remember when I was a teenager, you know, I walked away from God. You know, like I said, when I was a kid, I used to go out in woods and prairies, and I'd look for snakes and spiders and toads and salamanders and stuff like that. But I would, you know, talk to God. And then when I became a teenager, yeah, I still had that relationship, I thought, but I never really talked to him that much anymore. And I know about sinking lower and lower. I mean, I got bad. I got real disgustingly bad. I mean, to the point I was shooting stick for a living, hanging out in biker bars. It got crazy. And then he came to me in an amazing way. It was just beautiful. She goes on to say that the grace of God alone has power to exalt man. Left to himself, his course must inevitably be downward. I mean, there's no other way. If you're not looking up to heaven, you're going to be looking down to hell. And no, I'm not saying hell is literally in the bowels of the earth like the Catholic Church teaches. No. Hell is going to be under the soles of the people's feet. Yeah. Book of Malachi speaks about how we're going to be walking on the ashes of the dead from that burn in hellfire on this planet. Because this is going to be the final resting place of New Jerusalem at the end of the 1,000 years, according to Scripture, not according to those people that preach seven-year trib, eternal life and fire, or 1,000 years of peace on earth with Jesus on the planet and ruling the world, just like the Jews thought when Messiah was supposed to come 2,000 years ago. Same lie, different time frame. Because it worked. It worked back then, it's going to work now. And it has. There's so many people. I mean, the pastors and the preachers and the teachers, the theologians, the doctors of divinity, they preach this falderal as if it's written. And it's not. It's just like it said in, where is it? In 2 Peter? Where they literally, what is this? Because I'm thinking about, I'm going to use this in tomorrow's sermon. But it has to do with how they preach damnable heresies. Because they got no other choice. Thanks to the 501c3, it's illegal for them to preach what the Bible says they should preach. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there were, as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. Because they're denying him now, left and right. They're saying homosexual marriage is okay. Allah is God. And last Friday, on June 26th, one of their favored dates, by the way, June 26, 1948, the United Nations was, the papers were signed in a hotel room, specific hotel room. And in the year 2000, exact same hotel room, June 26 again, 2000, the United Religions Initiative was signed. And then now this. Homosexual marriage was legalized in the United States of America, the most powerful nation on earth, on June 26, 2015. The Bible has literally become illegal on the 26th of June in the U.S. Anyway, it goes on when Peter's talking to you, he says, even denying the Lord had bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. That's today in a nutshell. I mean, think about it. If you go out there and you quote scripture, you are evil. The truth is evil spoken of. That's today. I mean, Christian prophecy is that blunt sometimes. You don't even need John 14:29 theology behind that one. You could see that one coming. Because John 14:29 is more or less saying there's a lot of prophetic statements in the scriptures that you just can't figure out until they're fulfilled. That's what John 14:29 is all about. You'll know what it means after the event goes down. But Sister White goes on to say that to the self-indulgent, the pleasure-loving, the sensual, spiritualism presents itself under a less subtle disguise than to more refined and intellectual. In its grosser forms, they find that which is in harmony with their inclinations. Satan studies every indication of the frailty of human nature. He marks the sins which each individual is inclined to commit. And then he takes care of the that the opportunity shall not be wanting to gratify the tendency to evil. How many of us, and I get the emails, I get the phone calls, I know what you're going through. I've seen it myself. If you, let's say you got a problem with beer, and you happen to go online, it's like, what's going on here? Every time I turn around, there's an article about some new beer that was invented, or there's a pop-up saying, try this beer, or I mean, it's just crazy. Or if it's, you know, women, or any other sin, you know, the devil makes sure that these things show up on your screen, or you're, let's say you still have TV in your house. The commercials literally point, it's as if Satan wrote the commercial just for you, and he did. He knows where you're sitting, and he knows where you've been sitting for years. He knows what gets your blood up. He knows what gets you going. And so he's going to concentrate. He's going to do all he can, like she says here, to gratify that lust. So take heed lest you fall. Don't be going in those areas if you know you got a problem there. It's like that kid that came up to me years ago, and he says, you know, I'm going to go talk to my... He just found Jesus. He used to be one of those kids that we used to call burnt. Those are the guys that smoked a lot of pot, so we would call them, oh, you're a burnt. The guys that did a lot of drugs, oh, you're a melt, because they're melting their brain. The other guy's just burning it with smoke. But this kid, you know, he comes up to me and says, yeah, I'm going to go talk to my friends about Jesus. Oh, I says, good, praise the Lord, you know, you got your Bible handy? I says, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I says, where are you going? I says, going to base. I says, whoa, didn't you tell me that's where you guys like to smoke? He goes, yeah, they're probably up there toking now. They got bongs going and masks, all of it. And he's just, the room's loaded. I says, you can't go there. You're going to be walking in. Just being in that room is going to give you a contact high. I mean, just breathing the air is going to get you going. He wanted to go, so he went. As far as I know, I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure he did, if I can remember correctly. Take heed lest you fall. She goes on to say that he tempts men to excess in that which is in itself lawful, causing them, through intemperance, to weaken physical, mental, and moral power. See, this is one of the reasons a lot of us have a hard time thinking, you know, I'm praying for this loved one, or I want to lay hands on that one, or I want to see that one get off their deathbed, or I want to see this prayer answered or that prayer answered, and I can't figure out why the prayer's not getting answered, but boy, does she look good. Or man, that beer really tastes good. Yeah. Hey, how do you expect to get any kind of forward motion in your walk with Christ if you're still dabbling in the things that he saved you from? You can't do it. It's going to keep on weakening your physical, mental, and moral powers. The devil's going to make sure he keeps putting that stuff in your face and tempting you. But don't go for it. And I know most of you don't. And I praise God for that. And even if you do, 1 John 1:9, it's pretty clear. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you got to confess and repent. And you got to mean it. You can't just confess and repent like Catholics do and say, okay, you know, go to confession on Saturday and hit the bar on Sunday. You know, it's like that old song in the 60s, you know, never, 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 never on a Sunday. It was a song about hookers. They wouldn't do their craft on Sunday. And they figured, well, that makes them heaven bound because Monday, Tuesday, all the rest of the week, they're going to be doing their craft. But never, never on a Sunday or something. Oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, even as a Roman Catholic back then when I was a kid, I thought, you got to be kidding me. It never made sense. All right, so going on, because I got to finish the paragraph here because we're getting late. She says, he has destroyed and is destroying thousands through the indulgence of the passions, thus brutalizing the entire nature of man. And by the way, one of the easiest ways that the devil can get at you for the passions is by what you're putting in your body. Everything from a pork chop to a beer. Whatever you're putting in your body, if it's not that which your creator said is healthy for you to eat, it's going to affect your ability to fight off the enemy. Because he knows what you're eating is going to weaken your mind. And that's where he likes to play his games. Backward masking is, I mean, before I was a Christian, there was a lot of stuff I used to delve into. And you wouldn't believe how easy it is to manipulate the mind of man. And the U.S. government's doing it to this day. You know, you got everything from digital to organized stalking. You got, they can literally throw sounds into your skull and the guy next to you can't hear it. You can, but they can't. And I'm not saying that's what they're doing to all of us. I mean, demons do that too, but backward masking is a real thing. I mean, they could do it with songs. I would think the majority of the music out there has it in there now. Used to be it was illegal to do that kind of subliminal, you know, advertisement. Now it's a required course. So she goes on, and to complete his work, speaking of Satan, of course, he declares through the spirits that true knowledge places man above all law. Whatever is right, that God doth not condemn, and that all sins which are committed are innocent. How many of us have heard that? You know, show me in the Bible where it's wrong to do this or it's wrong to do that. And they're looking for the actual Bible verse that specifically states that one thing. And because they can't find it, they figure it's okay. That's what she's getting at here. Those kind of people don't read the Bible ever, ever, ever. I mean, but if you read it cover to cover at least once, you know, well, you're not going to find that verse in you, but you're going to find that truth in there that, yeah, that is wrong. Truth is truth. She says, when the people are thus led to believe that desire is the highest law, that liberty is license, and that man is accountable only to himself, who can wonder that corruption and depravity teem on every hand? Multitudes eagerly accept teachings that leave them at liberty to obey the promptings of the carnal heart. It's just like I was watching this preacher the other day. He was talking about J-Lo, and she was... I think she was talking to Oprah, and she said something to the effect that, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but it was more or less what Sister White just said here. She was, I looked at that. Some people would think it was wrong, but I looked at that and I saw nothing wrong with it. I actually saw that it was good, And if it's good enough for me, then it must be good. If my heart says it's good, then it's good enough for me. Yeah, that's what it was. If my heart says it's good, then it must be good. Unbelievable. She says, the reins of self-control are laid upon the neck of lust. Again, the reins of self-control are laid upon the neck of lust. The powers of mind and soul are made subject to the animal propensities, and Satan exultingly sweeps into his net thousands who profess to be followers of Christ, because he knows what gets them going, and he's going to concentrate in that area. Even if it's okay, even if you can't find a Bible verse to say it's wrong, and you know it just isn't right, he's going to go for it. Because he knows you're going to go for it. He knows you. Well, at least he thinks he does. But hold on a second. Let me see how far this goes. See if we can go over a little bit here. Because this book has a tendency to get huge. Well, yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm already going 4 or 5 pages in advance. And it's still ain't done in this chapter. So we pick it up next week here at page 556. Were the second paragraph, well, the first heavy paragraph where it says, but none need to be deceived by the lying claims of spiritualism. That's all over the place now. Thanks to Harry Potter. Well, not so much thanks to Harry Potter. That stuff was active in my day. That's why I got into all that, the occult, when I was young. I even went into that mind stuff, like the telekinetics and psychokinesis stuff. But I was mostly into the occult thing where, you know, get that manifestation going, freak the people out, and make it, you know, get those eerie things happening, and because it was scary, you know, entertaining. Yeah, poltergeist, yeah. But we didn't actually have any power to demand any manifestations. It was just one of those random kind of things. And if you were around long enough and visited long enough, you'd run out of the apartment one night in tears, just like everybody else, because it got scary. First time you ever saw something. I praise God those days are gone. And I don't like talking about it because I don't want to glorify the enemy of souls. But here's the thing. I praise God for that experience, because there's so many people out there that think the devil doesn't exist. I get firsthand experience that he does. And because I know he's there, I know his creator is there as well. And he doesn't have to show his hand. I can go out in a forest and see him in a tree, in a newt hiding underneath a leaf, and a mosquito landing on my arm. I could see him everywhere. I don't need to see that hand come out of the sky and point to anything. I've got his word. I got 66 books that he's written perfectly. Amen. We breathe the very air that he created. You can't see what you're breathing, but it's a chemical. It's a mixture of gases that we're breathing in that have these little microscopic, properties that without them, we would all be dead and gone. It's amazing. And so many people look up and see all the thousands of stars and think, there's no God. Well, there are no atheists in a foxhole. I've never met an atheist yet that wouldn't pray if you stuck a gun in his face. I'm not suggesting any of us get guns and point them in the face of the atheists and get them to get on their knees, but I just know that it's all a farce. The atheism is all it. Actually, what I've seen with a lot of atheists is that they're crying out for proof. They want to know the God we know, and until somebody can walk up and literally lay it out before them and show them that he exists, they don't want nothing to do with it. And they'll do, like the homosexuals, they'll do everything they can to slam them. But praise God, the way he has moved the people of this church family to just share the truth the way it's written. Not to put any, you know, no gilding of the lily is necessary. No, you know, beating around the bush. No taking out of context to try to convince a guy, because you can't, in other words, you can't seem to find the other Bible verse. So you're going to say this one Bible verse means this when it doesn't. Because you know if he reads above and below it, he'll find out you're lying, but you'll hopefully keep him away from that. No, the atheists, we have met two so far that have joined our number. Because when we share the truth, we give them the Bible verse as it's written. We don't add to or take away. And that's, and both of them, and neither one of these guys knew each other. I never forget the emails from, it was like both of them wrote the same, well, not word for word, but they more or less said the same thing. They've gone to all these churches all their lives and all these websites and looking for, you know, and all these guys, it's just like going to McDonald's in one state and going to McDonald's in the next state. They all say the same thing. It's just all one big happy lie. It's just, none of them can back up any of their theology. There's a lot of words like probably, maybe, perhaps, could be in their sermons. There's no confidence. There's no God in that Israel. That's not even Israel, as a matter of fact. But they both said when they come to our gatherings and they see the truth as it's presented in its plain written form, it moved them. And both those atheists became Christians. And so I hope and pray that more come this way, especially when it comes to atheists, because it's, you know, they usually go a little further than most after finding Christ because they're a little upset with themselves. Anyway, if you can kneel, let's finish in prayer. Right, bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for blessing us once again on the Sabbath Eve. Please bless everyone here that's in attendance, as you promised, and everyone that's on our prayer list. And especially those that we lifted up in prayer a few moments ago in the text chat. And thank you so much for blessing this Sabbath in a special way at the end of this week with its many difficulties as they were. I mean, it was a tough week, especially for some of us. But thank you for it, because we know the days ahead are going to be a lot tougher. We need to have that thicker spiritual skin. We need to be ready. We want the latter rain. And at this point, it's just going to run off us. We want to be able to have it soak in. So we need to have a lot of that dross taken off of us so that we can be sponges for the rain. And so thank you, Father, for answering our prayers and blessing us in that respect. And thank you so much for your Son, who is our Savior, who has done what he has done for us, and your Spirit that continues to guide us each and every moment of the day. Thank you for our salvation. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior, our King and Commander, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.